Welcome to Global Storytime, ICSA's monthly speaker meeting where we go around the world and we collect secular stories.
This month, we are in California at an amazing women's meeting that is non-binary and inclusive. Before we get started, do we have any announcements?
Hey, good day all. This is Will. I am a human in recovery, acting chair of the Secular AA board, and really grateful to see you all here today. Thanks, Megan, for chairing, and to the Women's and Non-Binary LA group for hosting today. As per the seventh tradition, we're self-supported through our own contributions, and meetings like this, including next month where we have translation expenses, do cost some money. And we also support the upcoming conferences that are going to be in the works. We have a virtual conference being planned for the fall of 2023. And we also have a in-person conference for Orlando in 2024. These are going to require upfront costs. So if you are able, of course, meetings are free for those who need them, but if you're able to contribute to Secular AA, we'll put that information in the chat. And I'll let Margarita talk about next month's first Sunday speaker meeting. Thank you all.
Hi, Margarita, alcoholic in recovery, and I'm really glad to see everyone. Just wanted to give you a heads up that same time next month that we will be having another meeting, and this time it is a multinational secular AA group in Spanish, and that's where we have the translation costs. So I'll put this information in the month so you're all set in the chat.
I do believe Jeb just popped in, so let's see if we can get an update on our upcoming digital convention.
We had a very successful meeting yesterday of the ICSA 2023 conference. It's a wonderful group of people. We're still narrowing down the time for a date. We did get as far as choosing early October, and it most likely is going to be a two-day conference again because there are so many events, speakers, panels, and so forth that were helpful, successful last year, that it was pretty hard to think of paring it down to possibly a one-day conference. It's great that the committee involved this year involves people from members from Australia, Poland, and Scotland, not just South America and North America. And we actually elected a recording secretary from Mexico, who had done a wonderful job in putting together a meetings, a summary. So anyone has any suggestions for speakers or topics, you can always email me at one word, freethinkersinaa@gmail.com. We're trying as much as we can to make the times of events convenient for people in other time zones. And it's a huge, a huge range of time zones from Poland, which is Central European time, over to the time zones in Australia. But it's a challenge. And I think we are this year going to have an online registration that will go out. It will give us some idea of how many people are going to join the conference. So it's working well. We have more time this year than we did last year in planning it because we didn't start until mid-July last year, but we got started in May. And so I'm happy with the progress we've made. Thanks for asking, Megan.
Thank you so much, Deb. So this month we are with the Los Feliz, I hope I said that right, Women's Meeting in California. It is by far the healthiest, strongest women's meeting I have ever had the privilege to attend. So I'm gonna hand it over because you're not here to hear me, and let Chuckles take it from here. Thank you so much.
Hi everyone, Chuckles Alcoholic. Hi. We have some great speakers, and Mercedes will speak first, and she can speak more on how this meeting started because she was there from the very beginning of its in-personness. And I walked in there, I don't know, maybe 9 months after it started, not sure, but in the but when it was still in person, I walked in because I wanted a women's meeting, and I've been there ever since. And then it transitioned to online during the pandemic, and has kind of now become, it was an agnostic meeting, and now it is secular, and now it is secular and non-binary, and people do show up, which is nice, that are like, I was looking, this is just what I was looking for, and I hadn't found it before. So I'm probably not the best spokesperson because I'm probably the least secular of the group. I like creepy prayers. I came into AA in the, my first meeting was like 1993 in Hollywood. So I loved seeing like the Lord's Prayer being said with goofy antics going on at the same time, and that contrast. And I was like, this, I love this. I love this program. I was in from the beginning. So in Hollywood, the traditional meetings did not seem traditional to me. I mean, of course, that one I'm talking about was late night. And then there's one I went to called Truth or Dare for a long time, like, you know, fun and sobriety. We're not a glum lot. So it was, I wasn't getting anything imposed on me, although I know, you know, and even just the other night at a regular step study, it was a Hollywood meeting where it's like nobody's taking it as gospel there, if you will. And it was more, let's pick this apart and talk about how it works for me and what, or how I reject it and what. But being at this meeting, especially online, and at other, secretary of another Hollywood meeting, that's a big like speaker meeting. So people show up and then they reach out to me, and like being in another state where they, and just in person, and having no idea that AA could be more like expansive and not something that they had experienced that was very pushy and total opposite of what I think the foundation is, you know, or what the foundation is of it. So, so hearing that in these rooms now, too, in this room too, of like, I really have compassion for anyone who's like been traumatized religiously to be like, wow, I can't even get started in this program if I'm hearing that word and how it can be upsetting and or an experience where it's pushy. So I guess I'm just lucky. In that I feel very lucky that that was my realm in. And I also love this meeting because they're very supportive. I'm a GSR for this meeting. And so the Hollywood district has a public information committee that has a high school project of sending out pamphlets. So our meeting contributed to that. And also group conscience was, let's include the God Word pamphlet in that those high school send out. So I was like, yes, right on. And I just, as I was here today, I was like, oh, we should maybe include the secular meeting list on the next send out of those. We send out a young person's list of meetings as well, and a whole bunch of other pamphlets and books. It's just been a wonderful, supportive group and experience. And at a time when I really needed it, because to be honest, I was going through a lot and needed to not go to a meeting where creepy predator person creep was going to be, where I didn't have to worry like that they would show up. So this was a good environment for that as well. I guess that's a kind of an introduction, and Mercedes will include probably anything I left out. And thanks for letting me introduce now Mercedes.
Thanks, Chuckles. I'm Mercedes. I am a recovering addict alcoholic. I am new to this meeting, so forgive me if I don't quite know all of the tone of the format. How long do I have, Chuckles, and who will tell me when my time's up?
I think it's, you get to do what you want.
Yep, it's no time limit. Talk until you're done.
Oh my, okay. right, so to qualify, my sobriety date is January 21, 1984. And I am one of the very lucky ones who got struck sober. Didn't relapse. And so I'm actually over 39 years sober, which is pretty much of a miracle. I'm also lucky because I got sober in LA. And when I got sober in LA, there were over 1,000 meetings a week. Now, God knows how many there are. Yeah, I do use that word because not because I believe in it, but because it's just part of the vernacular. I mean, there's probably 4,000 meetings a week here. I grew up in a family that was raging alcoholic. The big secret in our family was that we were Mexican. And so I thought that was the problem. I thought that's why we had knives and guns and, you know, beatings and the like. It took me until I got sober to understand it's because my parents were both alcoholics. But the good thing about getting sober in LA is that and I learned pretty quickly that there were a couple of agnostics meetings. And Charlie Polachek, to my knowledge, is one of the guys, he and Merle and a few other people who started agnostics in Los Angeles. And while I went to a lot of traditional meetings out in what we call the Valley, where the God stuff was overbearing, and it was like a Hallmark card sort of meeting where it was all platitudes and, you know, like God's going to do everything for me. And I didn't have a God. My parents did grow up Catholic and changed to something else and then became Catholic again. And so I don't mind the mystery of that particular religion, the images and, you know, some of the traditions. But to me, there was this really weird sadomasochistic quality to this God that I was presented with. And I couldn't deal with it, you know, plus it was an angry God. It was a punishing God that I grew up with. It didn't take too long before the Friday night agnostics meeting became my home meeting. And to Chuckle, what Chuckle said was true, too, is that there were a lot of other meetings in Los Angeles that, while they were traditional and they read the big book and used, you know, the God word, somehow the meetings were funny. They had a lot of humor. They had a lot of intellect. They were kind of a bunch of oddballs, which I certainly related to. Hollywood is a place of its own, for sure. Where I live in the Los Feliz meeting is not far from Hollywood. So I think that there's an attitude and an energy in some of these meetings that just makes it more welcoming. But the interesting thing for me, and I don't know how much of my story you all want to hear or if I should just talk about the nature of meetings, but I can say that when I first got sober, I avoided women's meetings. I did not like them. And part of it is because I grew up in a family that was very, sadly, was very macho and very misogynistic. And I realized that I had internalized a lot of that misogyny myself. And so I had attitudes towards women that were really unhealthy and clearly an attitude that I held about myself that I didn't understand for a long time. So I'd rather hang out with the guys than the women. Okay, so you're looking for my secular experience in the program. You got it. So in any event, I avoided women's meetings. I wasn't comfortable in them. Going to the Friday night agnostics meeting, it's so interesting because after so many years, a lot of the folks that were in that meeting are gone now. And I haven't been back to that meeting for a while, to be honest, because it became, while it was the original agnostics meeting in Los Angeles, there were a lot of folks that were dealing with other issues, and it didn't feel as safe to me as it used to, which is kind of sad. I mean, there were people who were really struggling with, you know, some serious mental health issues, and I'm not equipped to deal with that. My focus has always been, not that I don't have my own mental health issues, but my focus has always been on being sober and not relying on God to do that for me. I am a little bit old school in that I really do believe in the steps. I had to translate them for myself because, like I said, I didn't think God was going to do it for me since I didn't have one. But I really do believe in the steps. And in fact, that's something that I have a little bit of an issue with, which is another conversation, I suppose. But in our meeting, we make it as open and as welcoming as possible and suggest that, you know, working the steps is optional. And it is. It is optional. But it, from my experience, maintaining sobriety is pretty damn tough without the steps. One of the things that Charlie told me, Charlie Polachek, at a meeting, when someone leaned in and said, "Oh, God bless you, Mercedes," and I, you know, I recoiled, I pulled back. He leaned into me and he said, "Learn the art of translation." But what this person was trying to say was that they wished me well. And but it's still hard for me to take the language, but I have learned to translate it because I need to stay comfortable. And for me to stay comfortable, I can't be railing at what somebody else's belief is. I often find it interesting that so many, what I've seen at least, is such an argument for some people over God when they don't believe in God. When it just seems kind of an oxymoron to me. If you don't believe in God, then why are you having an argument about him, her, whatever? It becomes, for me, a non-issue. God is neither in or out of my program. God has nothing to do with my program. For me, my program is about working the steps. It's about being of service, and it's about being honest. And man, sometimes that can be really painful. I will also say that throughout my years of sobriety, there's been a lot of loss. I've had, you know, parents, siblings, relatives pass away, partners, two partners. And I managed to get through all of those things using the program, using the steps of the program, and without a God. I didn't have a God that, you know, saw me through it or that I prayed to. I just don't do that. But what I did learn was surrender. I don't even know what I'm surrendering to. I mean, this notion that we're going to surrender to this, you know, as one of our members calls him a sky daddy. I'm sky daddy, you know. I can't surrender it to that. But in one of the readings I've done, out of, you know, an outside book, it talks about surrender being the choice for a warrior to sheathe their sword. So to me, it's about choosing to not fight something. To me, that's what surrender is. It doesn't mean I give up. It doesn't mean I give, you know, I stop trying. And it sure as hell doesn't mean I stop working the steps. I have no idea where I am time-wise. And I know you said there's no time, but I don't want to, you know, just carry on endlessly. What I do want to talk about is the meeting that got started. And I think it was like in 2019. I'm terrible with years. It was either 2018, the end of 2018, or middle of 2018 or 2019, because we were going for a while before the pandemic started. And originally, when we started, the meeting was started, there were three of us. There was a woman named Heather who has since left AA, but is still working on their own efforts at sobriety. But I have to give her credit that it was her idea to create a women's agnostics meeting. And then we expanded the notion to being non-binary and more inclusive. And so I was like member two or three. There were literally three of us. And I had met her in the Friday night agnostics meeting, where she too was feeling a little uncomfortable that it wasn't as safe to share some of what we wanted to share in a room that just generally didn't feel as safe as it once did. And so there'd be three of us. And we were, you know, the three of us were paying the rent of the room. It was in the Buddha room, which I kind of like the irony of that, at a local church, which is a sort of non-denominational space. And needless to say, because there were three of us, there was a lot of time to share. You know, there was no worry about not having enough time to tell what was on our minds. But little by little, the meeting started to grow. We listed it. Women start coming, non-binary, you know, cis identifying. I mean, all the terminology, I'm probably not accurate with it, but we wanted it to be an open, welcoming meeting, and it was. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And then, and I'd say when I it grew to maybe 15 people, which is relatively small by some standards, but for a brand new meeting in LA, that was not bad. That was so specifically secular, agnostic, whatever terminology, and non-binary. We felt okay that we were attracting people that needed it, that just could not find the program in other meetings, and, you know, understandably. And then along came COVID, which, you know, none of us knew quite how to deal with it. And suddenly there was this Zoom phenomenon. And what I'm happy to say now is that our meeting, you know, it's still not an enormous meeting. There's usually on average about 20 people, but we've had people come from England. We've had people come from Australia. We have people coming from Canada. Hello there, those that are from there. But it is one of the safest places I have ever been in the context of an AA meeting, where we can share intimate details of what we struggle with without fear of judgment of any kind. I've never sensed judgment in this meeting, which I think is so critically important to getting and being sober. Somebody once told me early on that if I knew all of who I was all at once, I'd have to kill myself. And I thought they were telling me that I was such a horrible person that if I really knew who I was, I'd have to commit suicide. And I realized now that what he was saying was that we can't, it's just not manageable to take in all of what, all of who we are in a short period of time. Fortunately, there is time. If one stays sober, you can have things revealed to you over time. So it's not quite so overwhelming. And I think that's what is so unique about this meeting is that it allows people to reveal themselves at their own level. Nobody pushes anybody. It's about feeling safe and comfortable. And we even did a breakout room because we got video bombed once, which, you know, big deal. It was gay porn, but it was still disruptive. So it is, to me, it's just such a safe place. I personally like to stay in solution as much as possible. And again, I go back to that being about showing up, being in meetings, practicing, and prefer not to say working the steps. I like to practice the steps because it's a daily thing for me, and being of service. So, you know, I sponsor and I try to be, I never give advice. At least I hope I haven't given advice because it's enough to run my own life. I guess that's about it. I mean, that's what's top of mind for me to share. So I hope that is of help, of interest, and that anyone who identifies as women or non-binary feels welcome to join us on Thursdays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for asking me to be here.
Hey, everybody. I'm Allie. I'm an alcoholic. Chuckles had to step away, so she just asked me to step in real quick. Mercedes, amazing share as always. And I believe Janice was next in line, so I will hand it off to her. Thank you.
Thank you, Allie. I'm Janice. I'm an alcoholic. And as you can tell by looking at this, I didn't get to this meeting until Zoom because I'm in New Mexico. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on how I got to AA. I mean, I got there late. I was 53 when I walked in the door. I've been sober since April 8th, 2005. So I just celebrated my 18th birthday. I got sober in South Texas, which is Southern Baptist country. There were no secular meetings there. There are now, I'm happy to say. I didn't have a lot of problem with it. I thought I was going to, and I think the reason I didn't is that when I got given a meeting, for those people who have heard this before, I am sorry. I got given the time on one side of the street and the location on the other. So I got into the meeting a half hour late. And what I heard was people's stories and I can relate to them. And I'm an atheist. I've been an atheist since my mid-30s when I, you know, finally left the church. I like to sing, so you can't read music. So church choir was the only place I could do it. But I got to the point where I just realized I didn't believe anymore. And so, to this day, I mean, I was broken and I knew AA was the last house on the block. but I still do not know if I had got in and heard all the God stuff first, whether I'd have been, you know, whether I'd have stayed or not, because I got in and identified with the people. It made it doable. I had three sponsors in a very quick period of time. The second sponsor got me through 4 and 5 with about 2 months. They don't look at you. You do it rapidly there. And then I went on vacation and I came home and she'd gone out and she never got back in to stay that I know of. I was afraid to ask the last time I was back there. So I realized that that was how I got through 2 and 3 the first time. Then I have a third sponsor who we had some. She was a good sponsor in a lot of ways, but we fought over that God issue and we just danced around it after a while. But she believes that I had to have a God with a big G, and I don't have a God with a big G. I have a group of drunks. So we retired early and we moved to New Mexico. And I'm in Rio Rancho, which is just outside of Albuquerque. Rio Rancho is now, I think, it's Albuquerque, Las Cruces, and Rio Rancho, and then Santa Fe in the amount of people. So I came here and it was all traditional. And it's pretty much still all traditional. We tried to start a meeting, but it didn't take. So I didn't find secular AA until the pandemic. And then I found We Agnostics through a sister of my sponsee who going to it. So I found the Wednesday night meeting. It was had been a Santa Barbara meeting. Found that first. And then one of the women in there gave me the information for the women's meeting. And after a couple of times when I couldn't get in because my information was out of date, I got to it, can't remember exactly when, in 2020. It's a great meeting. It was a great meeting from the first time I came into the room. There was a time, like I said, I went to all the We Agnostics California meetings that I could go to. I went to Friday and Sunday and like I said, Wednesday. Everything's gone back in person. We do have a couple of meetings that we do online for the people who weren't in California to begin with. And I run Studio City on Sunday nights. But I've always been big on the service. And so here I go. In January of 21, I took on, we had speakers every week at the women's meeting when I started. And so I was picking speakers and I picked speakers for a year. Really should have been 6 months, but I was already into July when we started to change. And so that meant I had to go to a lot of meetings in a lot of places, you know, and I went to a lot of meetings in a lot of places. And I picked speakers from a lot of meetings in different places. And Marcia was one of them. And now she comes back. So much fun. And I actually got two people from the Stonehenge group in England to get up at, what is it, Zero Dark 30 for our meeting, basically. And, you know, so I met a lot of people in a lot of places. And my conception that there was anything you had to do in AA to stay sober kind of went away. You know, I did the steps because I got sober in a traditional meeting. They're still important to me. I use the big book. There's stuff in there that I can really relate to, and there's stuff I'd like to tear a chapter out of the book, but, you know. That's really not doable. I've met a lot of people, some who have never done steps and are sober. And some of them have been sober for, you know, over 30 years. So they're doing something right. And so I came to decide, claim that the fellowship of programs and service work is what works for me. Thursday night's been a godsend. It's my online home group. You know, we've had people come and go, but there's still quite a few from when I came in. It's a safe place. It's the safest place I have in AA, I think. My home group here, which is in person, and is a big book study if you want to laugh, is the other place I feel most comfortable. But I'm so glad I found Thursday night meeting, and I'm so glad that I stayed around, and I'm so glad I took on that job to find speakers, because I wouldn't have gone to as many meetings all over the world if I hadn't. I really don't have a lot more to share. I'm just so glad we're still online, because, you know, like I say, it is. It's a really safe place, and most of the time we're in the solution, you know, so that makes it important for me. You know, like I said, I don't have a lot to share beyond that, because I didn't have much of a story anyway. But I am so glad, and I'm glad that I was one of the ones chosen to talk. That's a great honor. And that's all I've got.
Yay, Dennis! I'm back. Allie might have mentioned I have had a mom situation here. Yay. So next up, we have Allie, who found us online and who we love. So take it away, Allie. Yay.
Thank you, Chuckles. Thank you, everyone. Hi, everyone. I'm Allie. I'm an alcoholic. I'm minimizing my screen because I notice when I look at people's faces when I'm sharing, I've clocked myself trying to find cues that people love me or find me interesting. And I'm trying not to get caught up on that when I'm sharing. I do make notes when I share, because if I don't, I'll just be standing here freezing and wasting everybody's time. So, I have a habit of eating time with how it was and not what happened and how it is now. I was talking to my sponsor recently, and she gave me the brilliant idea that I can actually just start with the present. So in the spirit of secular AA sort of challenging tradition, I'll start with that, how it is now. My sober date is March 13th, 2021. I have 2 years and some change, and I would describe my life now as quietly wonderful. I live in a sober house, and it keeps me humble and accountable, so I have no cause for changing that anytime soon. I work from home. I hang out with my housemates. On weekends, I get to have my little three-year-old nibbling, a close family friend's daughter, who is just kind of my whole world. And that's a huge honor, because that's not something I ever could have done while I was in my drinking. Her mother is far too responsible and loving to have ever left her with me. I'm learning Welsh. I feel like I just, you know, I wrote notes for a dating profile. I promise I didn't. These are just things I've been able to do since I've been sober. I have a dream of learning to crochet little baby Baphomets and selling them on Etsy. I want to be a ghost hunter. I go on several camping trips a year with my best friend, and we usually go on locations along Route 66, and that's just kind of an amazing journey, and I get to do that without waking up sick or embarrassing myself and her. I get to do things. My life is, it's quiet, it's simple, but it's very fulfilling. I'm truly enjoying it. I think probably my favorite thing I do now is I adopt traumatized chihuahuas who are somehow even more ill-mannered than regular chihuahuas. And I love that. I think probably the most important thing I'm able to do is be present and reliable and trustworthy for my loved ones. And that's a gift, because that's something I didn't do for the better part of two decades. I'd heard in early recovery that life would be beyond my wildest dreams. And I used to roll my eyes at like this kind of brochure hyperbole, like beyond your wildest dreams, you're an accountant. Okay. But I realized now that, like, for me, the simple and the quiet is beautiful. Especially after what I've been through. So I see that now for what it is, and I'm grateful. I want to get to my experience in secular AA. I do have a sponsor, and I am working the steps. But it's been a winding road to find someone that I trust. And we're kind of doing a back and forth between 4 and 5. I'm working steadily on it, but I'm also not in any rush. I am not atheist, though I respect atheism. I'm pagan and witchy and mystic, and I'm really enjoying that journey.
I attend 3 to 5 meetings a week, and that is the one thing that's never faltered. I haven't always been sold on sponsorship or the steps or the AA book, but I never stopped attending meetings, and that's really been my lifeline. Zoom meetings, especially given that I'm in Arizona, the Women and Non-Binaries meeting is my home group, is a huge part of my story. And I do count them as literal, actual, honest to goodness meetings. That kind of happened from necessity, but it also works for me. I got sober in the time of COVID. So obviously most meetings had gone to online by that time. But also, I am currently without a vehicle. I'm disabled, and attending mostly Zoom meetings is something that has happened organically. And I'm really grateful that I have that accessibility. Having said that, it does take work. I know there's a lot of criticism about whether an online program is as legitimate as in-person meetings. And I try not to take away or criticize how anybody else feels about in-person meetings or the necessity of that connection. I can just tell you that for me, I challenge myself in several ways. I keep my camera on. I try to be proactive about sharing. I volunteer for service commitments, and I try to exchange contact info so I can stay in touch with other alcoholics. I did just kind of want to say real quick that also I think for me, you know, I grew up in a very dangerous fundamentalist Christianity and spent some time in my early adulthood in a cult. That was really hard to get out of. I'm also queer, and you know, that might seem like an outside issue, but it kind of, what it did was it kind of set the stage of, you know, I'm dating myself, but in the early days of AIM and Yahoo chat rooms, that's how I made my connections, because I couldn't talk about having questions or being queer in my church environment and my family and any of my social situations. So it kind of set the stage early where finding connections online was something that worked for me and I even looked forward to. I found community and solace in my computers where I didn't find it anywhere in person. So I guess that kind of brings me to a little bit about how it was before. I believe I was an alcoholic before I ever picked up my first drink. I know that's not true for everybody. That feels true for me. I grew up with a lot of trauma and abuse, and was in and out of foster care. Both my parents were addicts, in and out of jail. So before I ever drank, I dealt with really horrible depression and anxiety, food insecurity, homelessness, all that stuff. And I just didn't know how to manage. There was no buffer between me and life being lifey. I somehow made it to college, but I failed out of college because I went to bed for 6 months and didn't go to any classes. Convinced them to take me back and failed out of college again. Going back a little, my earliest experience with AA was traditional AA, but not very much healthy involvement with traditional AA, because I lived in a very patriarchal family. AA meant my uncles and my father got into a whole bunch of trouble, and they went to jail. Then they went to court-ordered meetings, and they would brag about drinking a fifth on the way to the meeting and drinking a fifth on the way back. I always remember the four-step meeting that we all had to forgive these men in our family because they had found God again and they were working their steps, and we needed to respect that and respect them. There wasn't any room to talk about the hurt or the fear or the fact that when they did come back, they returned to the abuse, even when they were sober. Let's see, where am I going with that? So I guess when I first started drinking, it felt like a miracle. It happened concurrently with me leaving the church, kind of this awakening, questioning freedom, rebellion, being able to advocate for myself. All these things kind of happened together. Honestly, drinking helped me cope and survive, and it worked until it didn't. It stopped working long before I realized I'd become a pickle, and well after I could control it. I had my stint as the party girl, drunk driving, screaming at random people in bars, just, you know, carrying out whenever I could. by the end of my drinking career, I was just dying in my apartment by myself. I was covered in bed bugs and my own sick, and it was just hell on earth. I'd stopped eating, and you can't do that, it turns out, and drink 2.5 liters of vodka a day without serious consequences. I feel very oddly lucky that I inherited a stalwart, high-tolerance liver from my family's many generations of hard drinking. So my liver didn't fail, but the rest of my body did. I woke up one morning and I couldn't walk, and that was pretty hard. So by that point, I had run out of choices, and I ended up on the phone with a man named Jim from Central Services, who found me a dual diagnosis program in Massachusetts and put me on a plane the same day. So I went to rehab to learn how to drink responsibly and prove to everyone how evolved and intellectual I was about the whole thing. As you can imagine, I've since had an experience of learning that that's not how it works. And that's not something I can ever do again. So I don't want to spend too much time on that because I really do want to talk about my life in secular AA. I like to say that traditional AA got me sober and secular AA kept me sober, but that's not the beginning or the end of the story. Traditional AA was all that was available to me, and it was truly the change I needed, but I still kind of struggled. I went to meetings and treatment and listened to our H&I men who came in and told women in the meetings that they had to find their part in their abuse and their workplace harassment stories. And I felt angry and alone in feeling angry about that. Let's see. I'm trying not to take up too much more time. So basically, when I got out of rehab, I just Googled secular meetings. No one told me about them. And that's how I found the Women and Non-Binaries meeting. And I'm incredibly grateful. I have found people here who are kind and strong and teach me what healthy and stable look like. Collectively, these people have been a lifeline. I've never met any of them in person, and I feel like I know them. I get the good stuff there, not necessarily always like the hashtag love and light, but kind of the truth and the hard work and self-compassion. I'm incredibly grateful. I try to be of service in return, but I still feel like I'm getting the better end of that deal. Secular AA has kept me sober, but as has been mentioned before here, something kind of unexpected happened because I have what I have here with secular AA. I've actually been able to expand my world back up to some traditional meetings. And by no means do I mean to imply that this should be everyone's story. It's just mine. But there was a time when I thought I'd never attend a traditional meeting again. And I don't regret that way that I felt that way or the time that I didn't attend traditional meetings. I'd experienced a lot of rejection and abuse at the hands of fundamentalism. And I think I needed to close ranks against traditional meetings. I still don't like the Lord's Prayer and I won't say it, but I can also hold space with others in recovery who say the Lord's Prayer. I can find that sort of commonality of people basically saying, we're just all trying to stay sober until the next time we gather. My sponsor I have now, I also kind of met in traditional AA spaces, and she's incredibly trauma-informed and supportive and has been by far the best fit for me. So I'm glad I'm able to cast a wide net. Chuckles also introduced me to this amazing meeting on Saturdays, Hollywood Squares, and I love it. It's a bunch of crazy queer creatives, and I just I feel very much at home there. My intention for myself is to stay open-minded, but I believe very strongly that the work of secular AA is vital, and that I wouldn't have the foundation and support I need to engage with traditional AA without going into crises were it not for these rooms. And, you know, I know the AA book itself, I kind of hate calling it the big book because it makes it sound like the Bible. It talks about changing needs with changing times. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that I just happened to be on this path in a time where Zoom is accessible and therefore AA is accessible. I think whoever wants or needs the physical rooms can and should always have them. But Zoom and secular AA mean access for a lot of folks who wouldn't otherwise have it. Those people in those squares, you people in your squares, are the ones who keep me sober as much as anything else. I heard someone, I'll close up. I feel like I've droned on enough, but I heard somebody recently in a Zoom meeting talk about, you know, all these people, because of Zoom now, all these people who are drunk and high can just sign into meetings whenever. And I actually thought he was going to say something disparaging or gatekeepy. But he ended up saying, you know, isn't that amazing that people who are in it and would otherwise not can still join us? And, you know, there's so much I don't know and so much I have to learn, but I know that that's the spirit in which I want to live and work my program. And Chuckles, I think you're absolutely perfect for introducing this meeting, because I think the spirit of these spaces is inclusion and accessibility. I don't think we're reinventing the wheel, but we're seeing who else we can welcome onto the wagon, so to speak. So, okay, I've gone on long enough. Thank you for holding this space and for letting me share. I love Pen Pal, so feel free to give me your email or I'll throw mine in the chat. And because all of you, I didn't drink today. So thank you. I'll pass.
Yay, speakers. Yay, everyone. Good. And now I turn it over to you, Megan.
Thank you so much. Allie, I am so proud of you. That was amazing. All of you were amazing. I'm so glad I didn't have anything to do with picking the speakers, because I would have fucked it up. And I'm glad that you guys were the ones that were here. I truly value this meeting. I too was terrified of women. And I refused to associate with them for the first couple of years of sobriety, Mercedes. So like, I feel you on that. And when I tell you that in 18 years, this is the first women's meeting that I've ever been comfortable in, that I look forward to and I genuinely get something out of, please know that it is the God's honest truth. Okay, anyone who would like to share, you can, if you'd raise your digital hand, which should be found under reactions across all platforms, either share on comments, questions, or just share where you're at. As Anna likes to say, please check in so you do not check out. The floor is open. Margarita, come on in, love.
Hey, this is Will. I am again. Thank you. Hi. Thank you to the LA Women's and Non-Binary Group. Fantastic. Chuckles, love the Goodfellas teacher. What do you want from me? I mean, that's awesome. Ali, my goodness, as a fellow Phoenician, I got to meet a pagan witch hunter, ghost hunter, whatever. You know, that's got to happen. Great to be with you all. There's so many. What I really liked about every one of the common shares was that, you know, there was not a disparaging or anything about traditional AA. I too, you know, my first exposure to AA was traditional. I was very, very fortunate that about a month into AA, I stumbled into a meeting at the University of Toronto. I didn't even know it was secular, and some long gray-haired hippie was chairing it, who happens to be here today. And I went, oh, well, this is a different take on AA. So even though I moved to Cincinnati, which is very much that very year, there were no secular meetings, I knew that secular AA existed. So I was able to, my home group was in Cincinnati, traditional group that I still attend, online meetings that went when the pandemic hit. I'm very grateful for the pandemic, because when I moved away from there, I was able to stay connected to that city and that group of people in traditional AA. And I have a lot of respect for the people that say, I can hold space for people no matter what they believe, bring what you got. You know, it really doesn't matter. It's not going to affect my journey unless somebody tries to force feed me something. But if that's the case, I'm just probably not going to hang much with that person. Or maybe if that's the spirit that the meeting has and they don't kind of shut that stuff down, I'll probably not go back to that meeting. But I'm not going to in any way bristle at somebody. You know, I'll translate that. I won't bristle when somebody says, bless you, or, you know, God love you. You know, I know what that means. And I too grew up, Mercedes, I'm a fully recovered Catholic. I know what that, but I still like a Christmas carol. So I'm culturally Catholic. You know, I'll run into a church for Christmas Eve, midnight mass, just to hear those songs. That's awesome. I feel very lucky to have heard from this group. Wish I was cis female, but I'm not. But I'm glad to know you're all meeting in a really, really safe place that you can love and share in what's right for you all. So great to be here. Great to see all these wonderful, and love to be just a minority in a meeting for once. One of maybe 11 or 12 males, I think. So great to have you all. That's it.
Thanks. Well, Marguerite, did you want to share while y'all were up?
No, that's okay. But just thank you to all the speakers. Fantastic. And we can go to Marcia.
Awesome. Come on in, Marcia.
Hey, family. Alcoholic addict problem is Marcia. Developing problem, this is Winston. So thank you for everybody being of service. Stop it. Thank you for everybody being of service. And thank you so much to speaker panel. When Janice asked me to speak at that meeting very close to the beginning of the pandemic, I figured I'd, you know, just pop into the meeting and do my share and I'd be out of there. But then I went back the next week and you know, I do my best to go regularly. I haven't been there the past couple of weeks because I've been sleeping according to the to our time zone. So thank you each individually. All three of you have been a part of my recovery and have brought something to me that has been able to help Janice and Mercedes with their years of sobriety reminds me that I need to stay. And watching Allie grow over the past year and a bit that we've been coming around has been completely amazing. I love that there are so many, there are men here, because one of the things that I was doing when I was talking about this upcoming meeting was letting the men know, please come and hear what these women have to say, and then be able to pass this information on to any women that you know that are looking for a safe women's meeting, on a non-binary meeting. Because I know, I mean, I get, when I go to meetings, I have, you know, male, female, no matter what it is. Do you know any good meeting? Yeah. So pass the information on, because the one thing that I did hear from all three of the speakers is about how safe this environment is. You know, there are a lot of meetings out there that say, you know, they're welcoming and non-binary and all this stuff. And I'll tell you, because I've experienced it firsthand, they're not. And it causes some issues. And that's a really hard thing to, you know, basically providing an environment where somebody then feels so uncomfortable that they leave, and who's to say where they go after that, you know, because we never see them again. It's like this group is a women's non-binary all-inclusive group, and that's what they display, that's what they show, that's what their actions are. Somebody comes in and identifies as a woman, as female, or non-binary, they are welcomed 100%. And I have seen some people that have come in broken. And when I say broken, I mean broke. And they come back and you can hear it in their shares. And they are not afraid to share about absolutely anything. And I encourage people to provide that environment within your meetings. Make your environment safe enough that people want to come back, because as you heard through the different shares, there's so many issues that people are dealing with and so many things that make people uncomfortable. You know, one of the things that I deal with is, like, and I'm looking here and, you know, faces of color. I'm looking around. So there's so many different things that people have to deal with. You know, and AA is one place that I have never, ever, ever had an issue. I've not had an issue with being a woman, being gay, being a person of color. I've never had that in AA, and I encourage you all to make sure that your spaces are like that. So if people are being harassing, you know, get their asses out of there. and men, protect your women, and women, protect your men, because there's some female harassers out there too. So that is all I have to share. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Megan and Joe, for the platform and the meeting. Keep your head out of your butt, family, and keep doing the next right thing.
Thanks, Marcia. Karen, come on in, Karen.
Thanks, all. I'm just checking in. Just good to be here. Safety in the rooms is important. I started coming back last summer in earnest and felt very unsafe. So I've been yelled at, like screamed and yelled at by men literally. Anyway, so, but I have enough friends I do feel safe with in the rooms that I keep coming back. And I managed to patch together like almost 5 months this time. And then I went back out at the beginning of March. So, but I had 4.5 sober days last week, which was nice. And yeah, I just want to say thank you so much. Like the three shares were very relatable, and I just feel grateful that I have hope. You know, that's something I didn't have before I really dug into secular recovery last summer. Yeah, I do. My niece is getting dropped off in a few minutes. She's 9. I have all kinds of projects set up for her. I know I'll feel better after we hung out with my dad all day. Friday sober, my 5th day sober, but I didn't make it sober Friday night or Saturday. So anyway, I guess I should stop rambling, but I just want to say that so relatable. You know, I started drinking when I was like, I don't know, well, under 12. I did live in Santa Monica for a while. I'm 53 now. I've tried to get sober many times and didn't have a drink maybe 4 of the past 8 years, but I'm just not, I'm just a person who, I guess, just, I don't know what it is. Well, I'm kind of understanding more now, like when I'm not living in reality, it's so painful. And then I drink, but when I'm living in reality, it's, I have anxiety and fear and anger, but it's like just normal human feelings. But when I start drinking again, I get super delusional about who I am, about my life, about what I need to do, about my priorities. And I'll just end on a good note. My place is clean. I found a lot of cool fossils recently. I walked 45 miles 2 weeks ago in the whole week, 8.5 miles the other day. Like I'm walking, I'm working, get along with my boss. You know, I'm still dependent on alcohol. And I had 3 drinks yesterday, low alcohol, but still, I think I'm trying to wean off. But now my niece is coming over. So I'll just try to be emotionally sober and normal. And I have a lot of cool stuff. I have a new tool. It's called a rotary toolkit. You plug it in and we can like start slicing my rocks. So that's going to be pretty cool. And she's really good at stuff like that. So I probably won't go too close, let her figure it out. And yeah. And Marcia, thanks for letting me know about this meeting, cause I was really having a hard day. So, all righty. Thank you all so much for your service and those wonderful leads and the comments.
Thank you so much, Karen. Please check the chat before you leave. There are phone numbers in there for you. Come on in, Mercedes.
Actually, Bill had her hand up first.
Don't give me a complex, friends.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I don't take things personally most of the time. Bell, a person in recovery from drugs and alcohol. And probably a few other things. Really great to be here, everybody. I haven't attended these meetings before. And there's just so much to glean. I'm just blown away by the stories and the inspiration and the recovery and wisdom. It just shows me that it doesn't matter how long you have, you know, it doesn't matter if you have from 1984, I think, Mercedes, January 21st. I think my first sobriety was January 21st. 85, and it was Super Bowl Sunday when I had my last beer, and I will never forget that. That little bout lasted 24 years, and then there's stories after that. But I got back in, which is the good news, and I'm going to be coming up on 4 years on Friday. I'm very, very excited, and it's been so different. Oh my God, has it been different? And a big piece of that is certainly secular recovery. I knew what I needed to do when I was done drinking. I knew I needed to get my butt back into AA, but I was so hesitant, and I was just resistant because I didn't, you know, one of my dearest friends, you were talking, Karen, about walking 45 miles. This time last year, I was doing the Camino de Santiago, and it was 140 something miles in 13 days. And I went with one of my best buddies who I got sober with. In the 90s, we were sober sisters, and she was on that trip, and she actually presented me with a 3-year, beautiful 3-year trip chip on May 12th. And I was so grateful. But anyway, so she's the one I called when I was ready to come back in. And she said, oh, you know what to do, get on your knees and pray. And I hadn't found secular AA yet. And I was so desperate. It's like, all right, I'll try that. I'm not great at getting on my knees for this stuff. It was symbolic, really. It was just symbolic for me to be able to kind of give up and give over my own energy to something other than me and my idea that I could control my drinking, which I had tried to do for 10 years. And I did a damn good job, except my life was totally unmanageable. And in some ways, that wasn't really the case. I always like to say it wasn't my life that was unmanageable. It was my brain. And I was going through a lot of pain and suffering at the time because I could never really drink. I was controlling it. And I wanted to be a responsible human and make sure bills got paid. And I was working and I was doing what I was supposed to do. So I didn't get the benefit of being drunk and I didn't get the benefit of being sober. So I knew it was time for me to come back in the rooms. And I met one of our leaders in a traditional AA meeting who thankfully went to traditional AA meetings in Cottonwood, Arizona to let everybody know there were secular meetings. And he especially qualified because he used to say things like, well, I was in the God business. He was a preacher and he was, and he had started secular recovery in Arizona. And God, I just, man, what a relief. What a frigging relief. So that was kind of my revisiting AA and the program and being sober one day at a time. And then of course, when COVID hit, and everything went on Zoom, I'm proud to announce that I helped kick off the Wednesday noon meeting because I needed a meeting on Wednesdays. So that was like 3 years ago. And Zoom is amazing to me. I love Zoom. I mean, did I see somebody from Sweden? I'm in Mexico right now. I love Zoom. I don't need to go back to a physical meeting. If I hear so many people talk about it, and we're going, especially Margarita and Will, who travel all over the dang place. They meet up with people in San Francisco and Cincinnati and Toronto. And so all of that is due. And by the way, if anybody wants to come to Mexico, please let me know. We're in San Felipe, which is just across from Puerto Penasco on the Baja. We're building a house down here. We're getting out of America. I probably don't have to tell you why. Anyway, delightful meeting, great shares. And I especially appreciated your, I'm kind of a witchy mystic type. Allie, that was witchy mystic. I'm gonna remember that. That was good. And I especially like your little morning glory, Karen. I think that's a morning glory. And wonderful to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Second time's the charm, Mercedes.
Yeah, I just want to add something very quickly that occurred to me about one of the reasons that secular AA or agnostics AA was so important to me. Not unlike Beckett's ham, I had that notion that no one's suffering is greater than mine. And uniqueness, being other, is makes it so easy to say, oh, this AA stuff isn't for me. And I learned the term terminal uniqueness, because if I was so unique that nothing in traditional AA applied to me, I was guaranteed to be terminal case. And so it's getting out of that notion that I'm unlike everyone else. I'm so unique. And by finding people of like mind in agnostics is what made a difference for me. So because I ain't that different, thinking it is what's dangerous. That's it.
Thanks, Mercedes. I was told the same thing. You can be unique, Megan, terminally unique. Come on in, Janice.
Would help if I made notes. I've got a couple things to say that I left out. One of the other reasons I think I was able to do the traditional steps is that when I walked in the door, I knew I wasn't running the world, and that was a good thing. I have self-esteem issues, but being able to say that made it possible for me to humble enough to do the parts that I really needed to do. And also, Jimmy Burwell, who is one of my AA heroes, God as you understand God. Now, I've heard people in secular say, well, it's still God, but it gave me enough wiggle room And like I said, it's great to be here. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Janice. Jeb, you're up.
Well, thanks. Thanks, mate. And I just want to thank all of you for this wonderful, informative, and encouraging meeting. I'm so happy that you all offered this to us. And I wrote in the chat that I hope that this group would consider doing something for the 2023 ICSA conference online, because that will also be recorded and be available for people all over the world to hear this other side of AA that is so very, very special and so very, very important. A place where women can feel safe and be honest and experience the mutual support that is so much important part of what makes AA work. Because things do start at the fellowship level, and then all the other stuff that we share with one another and experience strength and hope is just amazing. So I love you all. And it's wonderful being in the minority in a meeting. It just feels wonderful to see all of you beautiful women and your stories and your encouragement. So thanks so much. Oh, today, I'm a day counter, and I always say this is day 16,325 since my last drink of alcohol. Because guess what? I found acceptance and validation and encouragement in the fellowship of AA, and that keeps me going. So thanks loads. Love you all.
Thanks, Jeb. Call-in user, you're up, darling.
I'm stuttering. It's Sharon, an alcoholic. Can you guys hear me?
We can. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Sharon, alcoholic. Sorry, I'm on a landline, so I'm sorry you guys can't see me. I just wanted to say I am so proud of these people. Thursday night is my home group. Chuckles, Janice, Mercedes, Allie, I love you all so much. You were all so wonderful for me to hear everything you said today. Hey, Marcia. Hey, Megan. In terms of this meeting of which the panel represented, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank it. My sobriety date is April 12th, 1990, but I stopped going to AA meetings in 2009, primarily because I realized I was an atheist, and for other reasons as well. And it wasn't until the pandemic that I came back and I went to a couple of secular meetings, agnostic meetings, but then found this one. And in these last 3 years or whatever it's been, although I thought, you know, all these years that I've been sober and I felt like I was incorporating the principles of the steps, progressing, et cetera, that being within the Thursday night group and working with my sponsor. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous for some reason talking right now. Excuse me. Anyway, I'm feeling like I shouldn't say this because it sounds like too proud. I feel I've grown so much, and I'm in a much better place than I was prior to having this Thursday night meeting. And you all mean the world to me. I've never seen you guys. You've never seen me, but you're in my heart. And to any of those here right now that want to check us out, please come check us out. Or like others have said, any men, you know, please refer those that could benefit from my meeting. It does feel like my meeting. The point that I wanted to get at is I never for a second felt shamed the way in terms of being out of AA for so long, because I remembered I would when I was still going to meetings, I would maybe not go for a few months and I'd come back to a meeting and I'd chair. And this was in Hollywood, West Hollywood, like where Chuckle said, it's very liberal minded, but I would still get there like, oh, well, it's a good thing you're back. You know, like there was so much shame being thrown at me because I wasn't at a meeting for a few months. And here I've come to this meeting and said I haven't been at a meeting since 2009. And not for one second did I feel judged. I've only felt embraced. Anyway, I'm babbling. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for having this meeting. I look forward to checking it out again. Big hugs to everyone. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Sharon. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were here. I would have changed your name earlier. I'm glad the numbers worked. Come on in, Mo.
Good afternoon and good evening. My name is Mo, and I am an alcoholic. The other Mo S that showed up here, it wasn't me. So I'm very happy to be here. I apologize for not being on time. I got a long distance phone call, but I am so happy I came in. And someone brought up, you know, the business of God. Yes, the business of God is it's a great business. If you have no conscience to be one, you don't pay taxes and you make a lot of money and you just work for about half hour on Sundays. That's how I perceive that. Because, you know, there's nothing that they have done for me that I can trust them or believe them. As far as the secular meetings, they've been a lifesaver for me. I feel that, you know, secular meetings are a safe place to come in and really let it out and don't worry about who is going to judge you. One of the things that I've made recently a decision, and I'm going to continue to do that, I'm going to talk about mental health in every meeting that I go, particularly depression. And I look at, you know, I was reading some stats I shared this last night. About 10% of the U.S. population, they suffer from depression. But when it comes to alcoholics, it's about close to 64% of us. We have that, which I think is more than that. And it's something that has been taboo. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. They want to keep it, you know, particularly some of... I've been to traditional meetings that some of the old timers, that they open their mouth to say that if you take any psych medication, you are not sober, which I think is a bunch of crap. That is not true. They are not doctors. And as far as I'm concerned, if I didn't take those meds, I would be a hot mess. I am someone who suffers from ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, and I have depression because of that. I have anxiety attack, and I have panic attacks. I don't have them anymore. Just as they say, I have it. It's like, you know, alcoholism. I don't know when they're going to come back. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do, first I have to take my meds. The next thing, I have to come to this fellowship and stay sober. Lots of my problems, they came from the fact that I was taking medication and I was self-medicating myself. And it just exasperates everything. But now, there's nothing wrong with that. As far, it has been working for me tremendously, because I talk to you folks about that. I have a safe place today to come and share 6.5 or 7 out of 10 in this meeting. Understand that. Then I am comfortable. I am one of the majority of this meeting, that I can talk about it and say who I am, and there's nothing wrong with that to say what kind of problems I have. Because frankly, if those who are judging me, it's not my problem, it's theirs. I never felt like that before. And one of the things that this platform has given me, talking about the Zoom, I would not get in my car, go to 5 meetings a day or 3 meetings a day. But today, I can just log in and get in there and listen to beautiful people that they have experience, and they can tell me where I'm wrong, what I should do. And by the way, Jeff, I think that you're shortening yourself. You were 13,326, not 25. So with that, I pass. I love you guys.
Thanks for sharing, Mo. Always good to see you, darling. Come on in, Chuckles.
Chuckles, alcoholic, just really quickly, since I just saw that lovely picture that the other Moes put up, I really like it. Another member of our meeting set up the way we do our meeting, which is we have a greeting room and the meeting room, and I love it. And you log into the meeting and you're in the greeting room. So it's just you and the greeter. And we just say, welcome, hello, can you turn your camera on just for a second so we can see you're human and say hello, you can turn it back off. So far since we've been doing that, none of them have gotten by that. And it's welcoming. It's also awesome because it's like, personal welcoming, you know, like a greet, like a someone greeting at a doorway. And so then they're invited into the breakout room. Okay, I'm going to invite you into the meeting now. And it you just click join breakout room, and that's the meeting room, and they go to the meeting room. And you can still do all the security stuff. It's just been great. So we brought that to another meeting where we get tons of bombers. And I've noticed that the people, yeah, we might lose possibly a few who are like, why are there only two people at the meeting? But we're pretty quick. And we know, and the bombers don't usually turn on their cameras. And just if anyone has questions about that, it's easy and fun. There's technical stuff to it, but not really. And I hope more meetings do that instead of making it. Also, guess what? Who's been judged as a bomber? This guy. Like, your name's Chuckles, you're out. Like, I always want to lean air on the side of you're not a bomber, you know, like even if you forgot to put your pants on, maybe you're an alcoholic. So I want it to be welcoming, not prohibitive, not you need a secret password and give me your email, you know what I mean? So thanks for letting me add that on.
Thanks, Chuckles. If I can, real quick, it's pretty obvious I don't use my camera ever. But this meeting has made it such a comfortable, easy thing to do there, because it is just one-on-one. You're not having to do it in front of everybody, that I don't even have a problem with it. I just come in, I turn my camera on for a minute and I turn it back off and they push me through. It's really not for anybody who has issues with their camera, it's not a bad experience. It's really not. Oh, I see Ginny's camera. Did you want to share before we close out, honey?
So I just wanted to turn it on to laugh at who was ever identified as a bomber, because I was, I think, by Joe at his meeting kicked out as a bomber, but no, that was fine. I'm so happy to be here and nice to see you all.
Good to see you too. Okay. If you forgot to put your pants on, you might be. All right. If anyone who would care to join me, let's close out with the responsibility statement.
Oh, man. I thought you would have closed out with the.
Oh, can I? I'm gonna throw some steps up on the screen. Can somebody please unmute? And I really should have probably asked permission for this.
Can we get a volunteer to read?
Right.
Close out with these steps. Anyone? Chuckles.
Yes, it's up. There we go.
Oh, these are similar to some late night steps we made. Chuckles Alcoholic, the 12 fucking steps. Step one, I'm fucked. Step two, there might be a way out of this fucking mess. Step three, decide to level the fuck up. Step four, take a good hard look at how fucked up I am. Step five, tell someone else about all the fucked up stuff I've been through. Step six, prepare to stop being such a fuck up. Step seven, try to stop acting so fucked up. Step eight, make a list of everyone I fucked over. Step nine, swallow my fucking pride and tell them I really fucked up, except when doing so would fuck them harder. Step 10, keep an eye on my fucked up thinking and behavior. Step 11, chill the fuck out sometimes. Step 12, help the poor fucker that walks through the door. Woo!
Ah,
oh,
those always make me smile. Thank you guys for an amazing meeting.